the book of Isaiah on chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, please. Commencing to read from verse number 1. And while you're finding the place, thank you for the invitation to be with you once again. And we pray that the Lord will truly meet with us and bless his word to all our hearts, to our edification, to our comfort, and to our blessing. May the Lord bless you richly indeed. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes, that is, bad or inferior grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes, bad grapes, inferior grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, the sign of the curse. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. What a picture. And the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, behold a cry. And in those verses we have the song of the vineyard. Then in verses 8 to 23, we have the sins of avarice and greed. And we have six woes. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that there might be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without habit. Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed, and of the seed a homer, shall yield one ephah. It's not going to produce very much in those days. 10 acres. Of land, of fruitful land, yielding only one bath, and that's about 10.5 gallons. It's not going to produce too much. And of course, a homer of seed shall yield one bath. That's about 1/10 of a homer. So it's not going to produce enough to feed the people. What a day. The second woe. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue till until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. In the first woe we see covetousness and land speculators and land grabbers coming in and oppressing the poor. And there's no produce, there's no fruitfulness. Then Isaiah speaks of the drinker and of a strong drink, and they will drink a lot, and they'll play their musical instruments, and they will be taken up with this. And verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honourable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell, now notice this phrase, therefore hell, Sheol in the Hebrew, hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Friend, if you want to know where hell is, it's in a place of descent. People and souls descend into it. How sad is that? Verse 15. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. And God, that is holy, shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Now here's a third woe. It's a woe concerning mockers and skeptics. It's a woe upon the people. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity, emptiness, vainness, which is vexation of spirit. And sin, as it were, as with a cart rope. That's an amazing statement. You see, they're drawing iniquity with cords of vanity, and sins, as it were, with a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. There's the skeptics. There's the mockers. And friends, what are they depending on? They're depending upon themselves, upon the arm of flesh, and the power of their own efforts. Then comes another woe, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Doesn't history repeat itself? How eloquently and wonderfully that speaks of our present day and age. When men are calling evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, this verse is telling us that men have left the old paths and the old values, old biblical truths, old biblical values, and they're telling us they're out of date. They're behind the time. And we don't need the teaching of the Bible in these days. God help us, what an age. But look at the next woe. The fifth woe. Unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own self. You see, when they reject the old paths and the old values and call the Word of God out of date. They become wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own self. They become self-satisfied with their own self-importance. And we are saying we will not have God anymore to rule over us. And then look at the sixth woe. And this is against lawlessness. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, intoxicating liquids, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know what this is teaching us is this. Intoxicating liquor makes men moral and ethical cowards, and they accept bribes, and they pervert justice, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Friend, what a passage of scripture! Here we have the song of the vineyard. Here we have the sins of vice and avarice. But in the last remaining verses of this chapter, we have the sentence and the judgment of God coming upon these men. We see the Lord's anger is awakened. And of course, judgment is a strange work. God always works with mercy and grace and love until it's rejected and men pursue their own downward pathway until the moment comes when he says, let them go. But it commences with a song of the vineyard. And I know that Isaiah has printed these words. He has written these words. But this is the song of God himself concerning his well-beloved, his own dear son, who is his well-beloved. And he saith, God is speaking to his well-beloved, to his son. And he saith, my beloved hath built a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And this speaks of God's love for his people in his well-beloved. You see, the vineyard speaks of Israel. And it follows that my beloved of verse 1 speaks of none other than the Lord Jehovah himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, or in Jeremiah chapter 31, we read this. At that same time, saith the Lord, will I be God to all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. And when he brought them out of Israel, when he brought them through the wilderness, when he brought them across the River Jordan, when he established them in the land of promise, and Israel went in to possess their possessions, what did he do? He gathered out the stones that were there. He chased out, he ousted the nations, he displaced them. And he planted a choice vine, the very choicest of the vines. He planted his own people, Israel, his chosen people. And he planted them in the land. He planted them as a choice vine. And thus saith the Lord to the people, which were left of the sword, found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee? You know, he was gracious to them. He gave them rest. And he loved them. And he planted them in their own land as the choicest of vines. And they were most precious to him. And he built a tower in the midst of it. And he made a wine press in the midst of it. And when he came to look that it might bring forth grapes, what happened? It brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth inferior grapes. He brought them into the land. He protected them. He separated them from the other nations by driving out the heathen nations before them. He gave them victory after victory. He planted them as a choice vine. He looked that they should be profitable and productive. And for this cause, he built a tower and a wine press for the simple purpose that he might be a gracious husbandman unto his people. He did everything for them that they might produce fruit and honor for his glory, that they might be a testimony in the midst of a waste, howling wilderness. Beloved, in this day, in this age, our Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. And the believers are the branches. But the question I want to ask is this before I go any further. Are we bearing fruit for his glory? Or are we a disappointment to him? Who knows, but we are come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and in such a time of this, we should be bearing fruit, and we should be bringing glory and honor to his name. Or are we like Israel of old? Have we left our first love? Have we gone on into Bypath Meadow? Have we stayed away? Have we loved this present world more than we love the Saviour who called us out to be his own? Saved us and cleansed us. Put his name upon us. But somehow the world has got in. And we've lost our testimony. We're not as effective as we used to be. And friend, as we look out on the world today, the nations of the world, and what do we see? Utter confusion. In the government. In the medical sphere. And in the world at large, we see confusion and fear has gripped the hearts and minds of many. There's confusion in the world. And it seems to me that the God of this world, the devil, knows that his time is short. And he's sowing the seeds of confusion in the hearts of men and women. And what do we see coming from the pulpits of our land today? What is the voice that we're hearing? It is the voice of compromise. And now we are calling evil good and good evil. We are putting light for darkness. and bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. And now when we take our stand, and we call the likes of sodomy sin, as God calls it, a grievous sin, my, we are looked upon as bigots and skeptics of the worst kind. But how can God bless our nation when we are turning away from our God? When we think that we are going to defeat this virus in our own power, instead of looking to God and to God alone, who can deliver us and save us. If ever we needed a revival, we need it now. Friends, here we see Israel gathered into the land as a choice vine. And the well-beloved, God's well-beloved, who owns the vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and instead of finding good grapes, it's become bad. And you see, there's confusion in the land. There's compromise in our pulpits. And there's complacency in the church. God's people have become complacent. God's people don't want to upset the status quo. We are afraid of causing offence. And we don't deliberately go out to cause offence to anyone. But remember this, there's the offence of the cross. And the cross will cause offence. But it's sad, you know, when we come to the Laodicean age. And surely we are living in the Laodicean age in these times. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and the head of the church, he hath much to tell us about the church down through the centuries. And when he comes down to the last church, the Laodicean church, he approaches the church as the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God's well-beloved. The one who planted the vineyard with the choicest of vines. He draws nigh to the church in these days and he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and poor and naked. Oh, what a depiction of the church in these days. They're wretched. They're not happy. They're miserable. They're not joyful. They're poor. They're not rich. They're not rich spiritually. They're blind. They're in the dark. They're naked. They have no clothes. Instead of being clothed in the robe of righteousness, they're being clothed in their own works. And Christ draws near and he says, I counsel thee, I advise thee, I admonish thee, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, at the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And that is the message of the well-beloved for the church this morning. Be zealous. Repent. Return to the first works. Return to your first love. Take your stand. Pin your colors to the mast. That men and women know you belong to Christ. Friend, you're a branch in the choicest of vines. Bring forth fruit for His glory. My beloved, this morning, we have entered in to the autumn season of the year. And one of our great poets hath called it the season of mists and mellow of fruitfulness. Are we mellowing in our Christian faith? Are we bearing fruit for His glory? My wife Aring said to me this morning, she was listening on the radio, and one of the things that blessed her hearts, they were singing harvest hymns. They were singing the old hymns that we sung in harvest time for years and years. We plant the seeds and scatter the good seed on the land. And it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. But when God withholds the rain, what will we do? When the drought comes, the inevitable famine comes, and yet our God, He remaineth faithful. And I'll tell you why, friend, He remaineth faithful. When Noah came out of the ark, and he offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more the earth and every living thing as I have done. Listen to it. Oh, the wonderful words of our God. How faithful He is, our great Creator God. When the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease day and night. And when you look out on the fields, what's happening today? The farmers, their husbandmen, they're in the fields. What for? To bring the harvest home. And we're doing it because of God's faithfulness. What a faithful God we serve. Beloved, what a day when our God planted the choicest of vines in the choicest of places. He gathered out the stones. He built a tower. He built a wine press. He planted the choice vine to be profitable and to be productive. That was his plan and purpose. But now he has to protest. What more could I have done that I have not done? What more could I have done for my land, for my vine, that it might bring forth grapes? And it brought forth inferior, bad, sour, useless, worthless fruit. The song of the vineyard. Is that the song of the church today? I look for fruit. for ripe fruit. And all it is bringing forth at this present time is the inferior and the bad. Why? Because the church is asleep. Believers are asleep. You see, they're satisfied and content. They say, we are rich, we have need of nothing. We have a good welfare system. But friends, listen. We are living in a day and age, and it won't always be like this. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming again. He's coming to take his own redeemed people out of this world. And friend, he can't do one thing until he takes his people home. And friend, what would it be then when God's people are taken out and the man of sin and the Antichrist has full sway here and the Holy Spirit isn't here to resist the evil? I tell you, friend, that it will be a time when, thank God, we won't be here. Then shall this world know famines like it has never known before. It shall know pestilences that it's never known before. And we think we are bad now. But what will it be when God raises to shake this world from stern to stem? And men begin to cry on the rocks, on the mountains, to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come. And it will come. For God hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised his son from the dead. And at this present time, as we know, his son, by his spirit, he's calling out a people for his name. And when that church is finished, when the bride is ready, he'll come and he'll say, arise, my fair one, and come away. And then sin will be rampant. And in that day, you know, my dear friends, a man will labour all day for a barley loaf. And that's all he'll have. And he'll not feed him nor his family. And it saith, hurt not the vine. And people think that this is the food of the rich. Let me tell you this, my dear friend. Whenever the rich oppress the poor, and whenever the rich take possession of the land, and there's no people to work it, who do you think is going to bring in the food that they need? This will affect the rich as well as the poor, you know. This great tribulation period. It's time we were back on our knees. It's time that we were calling mighty unto our God, that he might move in love and grace and mercy in these last of the last days. Friends, I can go no further with that message. Just pray that you will remember that God hath done everything to save and to redeem. He gathered out the stones from his vineyard. He put in it the choicest of the vines. He did everything that agriculture could do to produce the sweetest and the best of grapes. But sin comes in. And the produce is inferior. Friend, let it not be said of us on that day that our fruit is inferior, that it is bad, that it's sour to his taste. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word to all our hearts and encourage our faith. And we pray, Lord, that in this autumn season of the year, that we may indeed reflect on the fact it's a season of fruitfulness. But Lord, may we also reflect on the fact that when we look at the trees and the hedgerows, things are dying. Lord, and surely this age of grace, it's dying. It's running its course. And the well-beloved, our Saviour, is coming soon. And Lord, for many it is the place of dying. Thank God for those that know and love thee. It's the place of the living.
Yes.
It's the place of forthcoming glory. Lord, it is that time when the Saviour comes to receive from this world his own. May we rise to meet him, bringing our fruit with us. And that we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So bless your word and bless all your dear people here. We thank you for them. And Lord, as we make our journey homeward, take us there in safety. With the blessing of God that maketh rich, and which no sorrow is added thereto. For our Saviour's sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.